Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Colts Corner Podcast, presented by Hills West Media. We are streaming live on our YouTube channel, Hills West TV, and of course, the podcast will be on Apple Podcast. On the schedule today, we will do, as we always do, a Hills West sports whip around. We will talk about the MLB playoffs. We'll also discuss college and professional football. And we'll talk about the start of the National Basketball Association. We're fired up. Let's do it. We are inside our normally West TV broadcast booth outside, right next to the Hills West Turf. For this week's edition of the Colts Corner Podcast, I'm Douglas Satuca, alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Michael Garafa. Ryan Dixon, your brother here again, another week, and another, maybe we'll get you on here for a little guest appearance. I know you're itching for a little action here on the podcast.
It's all just a learning experience for this kid.
He's our biggest fan. Can't stay away.
Yeah,
he's the new era.
He's the new era. So hopefully you see him on this podcast one day. So let's just jump right into it. Hills West Sports still red hot, especially we did a broadcast last Saturday with the boys football team. Unfortunately lost, but a great game with two undefeated teams going in.
Yeah, definitely a tough one. 17-14 win for West Hampton. Those are definitely the two best teams in the county. They'll play each other again in the Suffolk County Championship, barring something unexpected. And I just want to go through some stats from that game. The Kim Griffin, monster on the ground, had a monster first half. We didn't really see him much in the second half.
Definitely.
But he did have 15 carries for 125 yards and a TD. And Justin Brown, who was injured, didn't play in that second half, had six attempts for 68 yards and a touchdown in the first half. So the ground game was really working in the first half. They moved away from it in the second. Not moved away from it, but it wasn't really working as much. West Hampton knew it was happening. Got the big defensive stops. Couldn't really get those first downs, those scoring opportunities we needed. There wasn't a single point in the second half, though.
Yeah, it almost seemed as though once Justin Brown left the game, the spark and the run game became a little bit more ineffective. But we talked about play call, especially in the second half. Once West Hampton figured out the offensive prowess of the Hills West Colts, they stayed with the run game, and it just wasn't there in the second half. And they had one passing attempt in the first quarter, in the first half, and only a few in the second half. One huge catch made by Davon, a gorgeous catch. But I thought the play call was a little suspect. Probably should have went more to the pass game, especially down and with the running game not as prolific
as in the first half. In the second half, we had to start throwing the ball a bit. 0 points scored in the second half. And it was just nonstop run play. That wasn't working as much since Justin Brown went down. And it's just one of those things. Would the result have been different? It may have, it may not have, but you definitely should have taken the shot.
Yeah.
And when they were throwing in the second half, it did start to work when they started throwing it late. So, all in all, we were talking about that on the broadcast also, if you caught that. But, yeah, we definitely thought that they should have been airing it out more.
Yeah, I think definitely the second they lost Justin Brown, I think they should have kind of alternated with the passing a little bit more because they lost their main running man. So I think that definitely hindered their opportunity to score a lot of points.
Yeah, definitely. As the varsity football team practices right in front of us on the Hills West Turf, their next game is this Saturday. Tomorrow, of course, pep rally, a big day for the school spirit and everything involved there, and then on Saturday morning the parade starts around, I believe, 10 o'clock. Game should be around 1 or 1:30. We'll be doing a live broadcast on
weather permitting,
but most likely on the Hills West TV YouTube. So if you can't make it out, we want to see as many fans in the stands as possible, of course, showing spirit for the team. But if you can't make it, we'll be doing a live broadcast, so we look forward to you guys tuning into that. So Hills West football will look to rebound this week, but the Hills West soccer team, varsity boys, have been on a roll as of late. Brian, what do you got in their hot streak?
Yeah, so it really is a hot streak. They have four straight shutout wins. which is incredible, especially after their struggles midseason. In their most recent game, the only game since our last podcast, they played at East Islip on October 16th. They won 1-0 with a goal scored by Anthony Pipitone. It was assisted by Spencer Bernhack. And just the defensive showing. I mean, four straight shutouts. It takes so much. It's so much. It's the goalkeeping. It's a Benny Nocton goal, obviously. The great defense led by Luke Bloom. Just a great showing from them heading into playoffs. Like you said, Doug, the magic is coming back. And, yeah, and that's like what we all love to see.
Like we say, peaking at the right time. We said it last week. We'll say it again. Going into the postseason, playing your best soccer. It's what you'll love to see, you know? Going into that first game. Next week, I think it'll be on either Monday or Wednesday, we were told. And, yeah, should be a good one. School spirit, like there was last year. Hopefully it's the same. We'll be out there. We'll be rooting hard for him. Definitely. Big good end to the season, and hopefully can carry that momentum all the way into the playoffs.
Yeah, I believe they have a non-league game or a scrimmage on Saturday morning before the homecoming parade, before all the festivities. So good luck to them in that game, and hopefully they enjoy their pep rally as well. Girls soccer, let's talk a little bit about the injury report. As if you've walked around the school and seen Olivia Mesrell, one of the senior captains, she has a little bit of tape over her nose. She posted a picture on Instagram as well. I believe she broke her nose and actually got the procedure, so good for her. Love to see her back and healthy.
Yeah, she did. I was talking to her today. She said her status for the next few days is questionable because she hasn't been necessarily cleared yet, but she can wear a mask. I'm not 100% sure on what the situation is, but definitely a tough injury for her, and we hope she gets better soon.
Yeah, you hope that she gets better. And she's waving to us right there. There she is, waving to us as the girls' varsity soccer team comes out here for their practice. So they're moving into the playoffs. They should be around a 4 or 5 seed when I spoke to Gannon, and that's what he told me. So both soccer teams looking to make a run, especially the boys and the girls coming off a not as solid season last year, coming into this year with new expectations, new coaches, and they're looking for a deep run in the playoffs. So Hills West Sports, the fall season coming to an end, and playoff time is coming right around the corner. So we're very excited for that, and we'll keep you guys updated. We'll move over to professional sports, the MLB playoffs. Hurts for me, for Ben and I, to discuss this, especially the Boston Red Sox recent success.
Yeah, I have to say, I definitely did not expect this. Houston, I thought, was the better team going in all around. And, you know, they're down 3-1 now. It's not what I expected. Boston has really looked great. I think sometimes we forget this is the team that won 108 games in the regular season. But just want to say something about last night. Mookie Betts, obviously everyone saw the play. He would have been one of the all-time playoff catches. Went to right field, jumped 3 feet in the air, reached over the wall. Didn't catch the ball, but they did say it was fan interference, and they called Jose Altuve out on what would have been a 2-run homer and could have been the difference maker because they did lose by 2 runs. But I just want to say, according to the rule book, that should be a home run. If the ball is over the wall, it's fair play for the fans. You can do whatever you want when the ball's over the wall.
Yeah, I agree. There's a difference between when a fan leans over the wall and makes contact before the ball is clearly out. Once the ball is over the fence and has the potential of being a home run, the fans could do whatever, like you said, they can do whatever they want. It's their ball. And Mookie Betts went for it. He made a play for it. And as you told me that the play on the field was a called out, correct?
Yeah, Joe West called it an out from 100 feet away. I have no idea how he did that.
So that's why it's tough.
MLB did say the ruling on the field stands. So similar to the NFL, it wasn't confirmed. It also couldn't have been overturned. So they said there wasn't enough. I thought there was, but I guess the call on the field, they had to stick with that.
Yeah, if you watch the replay, it seems as though the ball was clearly over the fence and was a home run. But as you see in all the sports with challenges, it's tough for the review crew to overturn the call on the field. The call on the field is usually the call that stands. They're not going to make a change unless it's a drastic thing that they see on the replay. So if they called him out during the game, they probably didn't see enough evidence to overturn it, although it seemed pretty evident to people watching.
Watching that, I did see the play, and I think that there was – it definitely looked like he was going to catch the ball. What the rule is, though, it states that if the ball is over the fence, you can't assume that he's going to catch it. If the ball is over the fence, you have to call it a home run when the fan touches it. So I don't think that they made the right call, but – It worked out the way that I think it would have worked out if the fan weren't there. I think Mookie Betts was well on his way to catching that ball. His glove was right next to it, and you could see it touches the fan's hand. It's a disappointing way for the Astros to almost go out, because down 3-1 against Boston, that's looking not great for them. But it's an interesting take on things, I think.
Well, I think definitely this series has been very interesting for me, because the Astros' offense has not been what it was last year. And the main question going into the postseason was, the Red Sox pitching going to be good enough? Was it going to be up to standard so that they can get to the World Series that they were anticipated to win? And so far, their bullpen's been phenomenal. Their starting pitching has been great. Eovaldi's been shut down. Porcello had a great game last night, had a little bit of fault. But, you know, this Red Sox pitching staff has been fantastic, and if they make it to the World Series, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, so the Red Sox, with a 3-1 series lead, they will throw David Price tonight.
Against Verlander.
Against Verlander. So
consider it a 3-2 series lead.
Who's had his woes, of course, Price. We know about his playoff struggles. But if you're not a fan of the MLB, this series, the AL series, is definitely one that could turn you into a fan. The amount of lead changes, the intensity, the offensive production from both sides, it's just really great baseball to watch. And I was at one point like, wow, I should just text Ben and be like, this is some of the best baseball I've seen in the postseason. Even though it is Boston and Houston, two teams that
have knocked the Yankees out.
Yeah, Ben and I are not too
fond of them.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still great baseball, so if you're not a baseball fan, I would definitely tune in. And as I've said from many sports, that's how it really goes in the playoffs. Great, great representation of the sport. We'll move into the NL, where the Dodgers lead the series 3-2. And that's definitely been an interesting one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a phenomenal showing for the Dodgers to be coming in as the underdogs. They came in, they were predicted to not even make it to seven games. It was it's very surprising for me to see how the Brewers are really not hitting. Yelich has been very unproductive this series. Their bullpen has been very, very iffy. Jeremy Jeffers has been thrown in almost every game, and he's done pretty bad in each one. And the Dodgers have been very resilient, and I really am surprised. One point I want to bring up, I don't know if you want to in a little bit, but the Manny Machado issue, do you want to do that now? Or?
Yeah, I think we should. I was going to bring that
definitely
up.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. Yep.
You don't run the first base and step on a guy's
ankle. Can we first do an overview of everything that's went on? Because I know that there were a few incidents. I've not really.
We also had two slides in the game before that.
Yeah, let's talk about the few incidents, and then we'll discuss our opinions on them. So, Garafa, take us through the step by step of what's went on.
So, game, I don't remember which one, but I believe it was
game three. I think
game three. Yeah. So the Dodgers had a man on. Manny Machado was on first base. Someone hit a ground ball. Don't remember exactly who. He went into second base, and he pretty much slid really hard into second. Put his hand up, and it actually could have interfered with the play of Orlando Arcia, the shortstop. But they didn't call a interference. Now, the rule in MLB, in case you didn't know, is if a runner purposely goes out of his way, or seemingly purposely goes out of his way to interrupt a play, they can automatically rule it a double play. So in the next time he was up, he got on again. Cody Bellinger hit another ground ball, and this time Machado went in. Arcia had already thrown the ball, but when Machado went in, he went way left of the bag, and wow, he knocked over Arcia onto the ground. They ended up overturning the call and calling it a double play after the first time where they didn't. So Manny Machado was a little bit confused as to that. A guy who said that he doesn't hustle, really not a great guy.
Not a good look. Definitely not a good look, especially
if you're going to be a free agent in the upcoming offseason.
That's another point I was going to bring up, is his value is going down so much in the series.
Yeah.
And as a Met fan, I like that.
Yeah, you just.
I don't want him. I don't want him after this. I don't want that kind of guy on our team. I don't care how good he is.
I still don't know what kind of guy he is, because that it is a string of dirty plays, but you're going to see that from a lot of players. And if he's bringing talent and bringing a lot of productivity to the Mets, I might want him on my team.
Yeah, but this is
I wouldn't say his value is going down. It's definitely a bad look for him, bad for his reputation, but as a player. I mean,
yeah, but at least you see the guy hustling. You know, this is intense baseball. People make plays. Sometimes you're just moving so fast that you don't understand what you're doing. But obviously, a couple dirty plays similar to Chase Utley. Obviously, Mike remembers that well.
A couple playoffs ago.
But I think that a couple plays can't define a player. It definitely is a bad look, but. But his skills are still there. He hasn't really had that many problems in Baltimore either. Also, they weren't playing such competitive baseball the last couple of years. But still, you haven't seen that string of consistency of being a bad guy necessarily.
Mm. That's a little debatable. I mean, there was the time when he charged Yordano Ventura.
Yeah, but there's many people that charged him.
I know, but
look at Tyler Austin. Is Tyler Austin a bad guy?
Charging the
mound, it's the heat of the moment.
Being
I know, but there's
a bad decision. Even it could be being an intense player and you feel disrespected out there and you charge them out. I have no problem with that.
There are people who are bad guys. Vontaze Burfict is a bad guy. You have to know who's a bad guy and not. There's
a clear cut line.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Because you could sit down with Manny Machado right now and you wouldn't think he's such a bad guy. He's only made a couple plays that that you could look back on and say that he's really a dirty player if you wanted to say that. But I think his stock probably has decreased, though, because people don't want to deal with players like this. But then again, he's one of the best shortstop / third baseman in the league. His bat is elite. He's a great fielder. And I think that any team in the MLB would be willing to give him money to play for their team.
I agree. But there's no doubt that his stock has taken a hit. Because when it's a dirty play like this, and it's in the playoffs, and it's everybody has seen it, like everyone has, and everyone pretty much agrees that it was a dirty play. I think, how does your stock not take a hit to at least some extent?
Well, then you have the other play when he was running to first on a ground ball. Jesus Aguilar had his back foot a little bit on the base, not even much.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, not even much, and he's running to first, and he purposely, you could see, he kept his leg out. He purposely tripped Aguilar, and it made his leg bend a little bit. He's lucky he didn't get hurt. It ended up leading to the benches clearing. Nothing really happened, but that's another just...
Well, yeah, that's just extremely unacceptable and dangerous. If you're out by two steps and then you decide to step on the back of someone's heel on almost their Achilles, that's the definition of a dirty play. And if that compared to the slide is more dramatic to me. That's the definition of the dirty play, why he should probably... I know it's the playoffs, but you got to be penalized for something like that.
He was.
That's malicious and extremely dangerous for the game.
MLB, actually, they fined him. They gave him an undisclosed amount. They fined him for what he did. I also think that they need to start implementing a safety base when Manny Machado is running, like in Little League.
So that series, 3-2 in favor of the Dodgers. That game will be at 8:39 on tomorrow night. So tune in for more baseball and get involved with that. We're going to move on to some football. We'll talk NFL because everyone wants to hear about the NFL. Another good week of games. Last week was very exciting. A lot of great football. A 43-40 game on between the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs.
That was the game of the year.
Yeah, great football.
Stayed up for that one. Definitely, I'm sure a lot of people turned off the TVs in the third quarter when the Chiefs went down a few possessions. But Pat Mahomes, man, he's the real deal. Him and Tyreek Hill, I'm not sure there's a better combination of talent that complements each other in the league that we've seen in our time watching. Mahomes, obviously, one of the strongest arms the NFL has really ever seen. And Tyreek Hill is one of the fastest guys the NFL has ever seen. So as Mahomes chucked the ball, Tyreek will get to it. And chances are it'll result in a touchdown for the Chiefs. Their offense, definitely high power, definitely fun to watch. And I still think they're the best team in the AFC, despite the Patriots winning at home.
Yeah, and if you look at the way Mahomes and Tyreek Hill complement each other, it's almost like they were made in a lab. Like you when you have a guy with a strong arm like that, you wanna put that with someone who's doesn't necessarily have great size, but is extremely fast, and that's exactly what you have in Tyreek Hill. He's the fastest player in the NFL. So he's becoming an elite receiver also. He's starting to have possession catch games. He's not just a deep threat anymore, although he is the best deep threat in the league. So it really is spectacular. I agree. They are the best team in the AFC right now still, despite that loss in Foxborough.
So let's go from primetime Sunday night of last week to tonight, Thursday night primetime. One of the best games last week to arguably one of the worst games on the schedule of the season. Just not that appealing. Denver will travel to Arizona. Arizona, probably the worst team in the league this year.
Yeah, really not a good game, though. Denver has not been good, like we said. Lost to the Jets, then lost to the Rams. Arizona, really not good either. Josh Rosen comes in. They lost last week to Minnesota. Only 10-point game, but still.
It's still just not two high-quality football teams. But last Monday night with the Green Bay-San Fran game, we didn't expect a great showing. But San Fran fought hard.
May I do the honors?
Yeah, great game. I'm just saying. Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers, he's a bad man.
He is a bad man, but San Fran stayed in there, played a pretty competitive game. But tonight... I don't even know what to say here. I'm looking for David Johnson, I guess, to explode. But Denver's defense is solid. I don't see a lot of offense here, especially with the Cardinals struggling throughout the year with their young quarterback. I just don't think it's going to be great football.
Here's what to watch for here in tonight's game. I think you do have to watch David Johnson tonight because the Broncos may have a solid defense, but they've had two straight games with two straight 200-yard rushers in Isaiah Crowell, who's not exactly one of the best rushers in the league, but then Todd Gurley, who is the best rusher in the league. The other thing that you definitely need to watch in this game is not only Josh Rosen, but how he handles the amazing pass rush that the Denver Broncos have. Bradley Chubb broke out last week. He had 3 sacks in that game. He's starting to show that potential that everyone knew he had. And, of course, Von Miller on the other side for that Denver defense. They can get to the quarterback like nobody else in this league. So I think it does have the potential to be an okay game, especially because last year when we were hating on the Thursday night game, I always come back to it. 49ers-Rams.
What a game.
And it was one of the best Thursday night games we've ever seen, and that was before the Rams were supposedly one of the top teams in the league. That was when the Rams were looked down upon and when the 49ers were, well, they didn't win a game until week 9 last year. So you never know what you're going to get is what I'm trying to say, and don't count out the game. I'd say turn it on tonight. Watch for those few things that you definitely need to watch for and enjoy.
Yeah, it's still the NFL. We're all going to watch.
Yeah, it's a live game in the middle of the week. So, of course, you expect yourself to tune in. What else are you going to do?
The Astros and Red Sox game, actually?
well, one thing I actually want to tune into tonight and see is, as a fantasy owner, Royce Freeman, everyone draft this guy so early, and Arizona's D really not that great. You want to see if he can finally break out, because he's still splitting carries with Phillip Lindsay and Devontae Booker. So maybe he makes the most out of those tonight. We'll see what happens. I don't know if he does. But just wanted to say, this week we weren't able to get to the fantasy football breakdown because all the stuff was in the booth. But every week, we're still coming at you, Doug and I.
Next week, we're
giving you your start sit. We're giving you your waiver wire pickups. So tune into the Fantasy Football Breakdown.
It's really electric.
Every Thursday at noon.
Yeah, any help you need, we're your guys. We'll move on to another matchup. Pretty solid one. New England travels to Chicago, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Just a game of two great teams. New England, of course, with a 3-point win. The explosion on offense by Tom Brady and the Patriots last week. And Chicago just playing good football. Did lose last week on a walk-off
horrible loss.
A walk-off kick by Miami. So it should be a good one, especially with two solid teams coming in.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Bears are definitely going to be hungry coming into this one. They get a great team at home, and definitely a devastating loss for them last week. You can't lose to Miami when you're being looked at as one of the contenders in the NFC, and it's not Miami. It's Brock Osweiler in Miami.
Yes.
They let that guy go off against him. Brock Osweiler will actually be starting this weekend again and potentially next Thursday night too. So, but definitely a tough loss for Chicago. I am liking them at home this week against New England. Should be a great game, but we've been saying it all year. Mitch Trubisky really breaking through so far this year, and I'm expecting him to put up another good game this weekend and see the Bears pull away from the Patriots.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, the third quarterback out of his draft class, the ones the three, it was Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and now Patrick Mahomes. He seems to be the third one that's coming along. It was Watson, and then Mahomes had his breakout early in the season. And now Trubisky seems to really be coming along, as making a stretch to one of the top quarterbacks in the league, or at least one of the top young prospect quarterbacks in the league. And that Bears defense is just, it's something else. I don't care what they did against Miami. That game was a bit of a fluke. It was about 100 degrees there. It's going to be a little different in Chicago this weekend. And Windy City, I think they're going to be able to stop Sony Michel, who's been playing great for the Patriots, and that two-headed monster that they have back there with Sony Michel and James White. But the Bears are extremely strong. I think they're going to be able to handle the Patriots in this one. I really do.
Yeah, also a couple interesting fantasy decisions to make for yourself. Obviously, Josh Gordon played better last week, but it seems like he's just ready to break out. He's been there for about 4 weeks. This should be five coming up. 5 weeks in the offense, and it should be time for him to explode. You know Gronk, Edelman, and those other weapons, Hogan, and the two running backs, of course. Yeah, Cordarrelle, very, very good. Almost like an
electric guy. Kind
yeah,
of.
Very versatile player. And with White and Michelle in the backfield, you're just waiting. There's a lot of question marks around Josh Gordon. I drafted him pretty high up, not drastically high, but definitely where I thought he would be a starting wide receiver for me. But
that was also when he was on the Browns, though.
Yeah,
that was
but a different story. It's a lot of questions, and those should be answered coming up this week against a really good Bears defense.
Yeah, he's in your lineup this week, isn't he?
I believe he is in my lineup this week. I don't have any more games here on my phone.
Service is
not great in the West TV booth.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the Jets? We haven't done that in a few weeks, and they're really playing some great football. This week they're at home against Minnesota. Minnesota also playing great football, but that's kind of expected from them. The Jets, Sam Darnold, I don't know what to say. He's making great strides, and I think I don't want to jinx it, but I think we have our guy, right, Ben?
I think so, too, obviously, early on. But he's getting better each week. You really love what you're seeing from him. And he's also become the leader of the team. I saw a video yesterday. I think NFL tweeted it about Sam Darnold, and he was mic'd up for that game on Sunday against the Colts. And his leadership, the guys really look up to him for only a 21-year-old rookie. And obviously his talent on the field is pretty obvious. When he makes smart decisions, the sky's the limit for this kid, and he's really good, and I'm looking for him to lead the Jets to string some more wins together. I'll be in attendance on Sunday playing the Vikings. It'll be a tough one, but I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Sam Darnold. At first, I was a little concerned for Jet fans, for their health. They played a great game against the Lions on their first game of the year on that Monday night, but ever since... He was a little shaky in the 2 weeks following that, but ever since, he's really figured it out. He looks like the future for the New York Jets, and I'm excited for you guys as Jet fans, and I'm excited to not have to hear you guys crying and complaining about the Jets every week.
Season. I'd be surprised if you actually saw us stop complaining, though, Doug. You're a Steeler fan, and we hear quite a bit from you.
Yeah, so, well...
And that's the sixth Super Bowl team right there, so... I don't think you're going to see anything, halt in the complaining anytime soon.
Well, Brian, I mean, being a Mets fan, I'm sure it's.
I'll always
hard.
Find something to complain about.
Yeah,
always have to find something to complain about when the Steelers, as you said, six-time Super Bowl champs. But still, it's a game every week of the season. There's always stuff that you could talk about, and that's why we're doing a podcast every week.
Right?
Can't ever be
you know what? Even in their
exactly.
bye week, even in their bye week, there's something to talk about. Le'Veon Bell, he hasn't come back yet. He said he would come back for their bye week. He's not there right now. No one knows where he is.
Yeah, it never stops. Sports are always changing and always happening. That's why we love it. So we could talk about another game, a divisional game. Houston and Jacksonville, both 3-3. Both teams, not great this year. Have picked up their play recently, but Jacksonville, obviously, with a couple of losses, just falling off just a bit.
Yeah, Jacksonville just got absolutely shellacked by the Dallas Cowboys. There's no other way to really put it. They got embarrassed. Blake Bortles really does not look good so far this year, except for that one game against the Jets, which, I mean, the Jets can make anyone look good. But Yeah, Jacksonville definitely did not look good last week. Fournette looking like he's not coming back this week again against Houston. And, you know, Jacksonville really not great. Houston really not great so far this year. I think both teams are looking at it as a must-win coming into this game.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup because Jacksonville actually has been very good at home. They were able to beat the Patriots earlier this season at home, and Bortles actually did have a good game there. But and then it's like two different teams when you're watching them. When they're on the road, their defense isn't quite what it is when they're at home, but it's still very good. But it's not what they could rely on. And when they're on the road, Blake Bortles is horrible, and he's just a turnover machine. You can't win games like that. It's that simple. But they're at home this week against Houston, who has won three straight games. So it's a very interesting matchup. Houston's won three straight games, but it's been ugly. You know, they had an overtime win against the Colts. They're not looking like exactly how everyone predicted preseason that they would look. But I think it's definitely a very interesting matchup because you get the Jaguars, who are reeling right now and really need a win, and then Houston is coming in hot, I guess, but they still feel like they need this one. So it's something to look for.
Great catch right there, number 18. Beautiful throw by Filardi.
We had our stats.
Right in front of our eyes. Freaking beautiful play right there. And just to talk about last week's jerseys for Jacksonville, might be some of the worst jerseys I've ever seen. Those were awful. I know that they're trying to move towards different jerseys, attracts more fans, advertising, all that stuff, promotion. But you're not going to get any. You're not going to gain any fans or your sales are not going to increase if you're trying to sell those jerseys. Those are awful.
What color were those? I missed.
I don't even know.
I mean, I haven't seen
teal?
Them yet.
I'm colorblind.
I don't have service, but I mean, I remember when the Diamondbacks came out with their new jerseys. I kind of thought they were ugly, but now I kind of like them. And same with the Marlins. So, you know, anything's possible, but I'll have to check that out.
It's fair.
Also, that new logo for the Marlins, by the way.
I didn't see that.
Did you also know they're getting rid of the home run sculpture in left center field?
Oh, it's about time. It's about time. Get rid of that thing.
Jeter ruins everything.
Well, that's just false.
He's blowing the Marlins up.
Leave my boy Jeter alone. Okay, another interesting game. Carolina, Philly, two good teams. We'll just breeze over that. Just talk to you guys about that solid game. Also, New Orleans travels to Baltimore. Two other good teams. High octane offense for New Orleans and the stout defense for Baltimore.
11 sacks last week.
Pretty good
Baltimore
slate
defense.
This week, though.
Yeah, really good slate.
It is a good slate.
And it ends. The Sunday slate and Sunday night, Cincinnati travels to Kansas City. Kansas City back-to-back Sunday night games, which was very interesting for me as a Steeler fan. I see that quite a bit. Steelers featured on national TV a lot and do have this sequence of games. So that should be one of the best games of the week.
Yeah, definitely. And you got to love that we're getting this 9:30 a.m. to about midnight football slate. With the game in London this week.
I love the London games.
You gotta love the London games. I hated the London game last week that started at 1 p.m. What the heck was that?
Yeah, I know.
That's interesting. Starts at around 6 p.m.
I like waking up to football, Doug.
Right?
I mean,
you have the smell of delicious breakfast as you roll out of bed, and you just turn on your TV, 9:30 start. You're going to London, Tennessee, and L.A. Pretty solid game as well.
It is. L.A. has been great. Their only two losses were to previously the two undefeated teams. It was Kansas City. They're not undefeated anymore. And also the Rams. So that's definitely something to look for. It's a great game in Tennessee. Also reeling a bit like that whole division, it seems like. But looking for a win, definitely a lot. They need this one.
Yeah, so a great slew of NFL games this week. Now let's talk a little NBA. Back. The Ooh. Association is back and ready for their 2018-19 season. Last night was a majority of teams did play. Knicks with a win. It's back. I'm not a huge NBA guy, but especially with the Knicks struggles in the recent past, but I'm excited. A lot of good teams this year, and it should be good. It should be a good season.
Yeah, opening night. I know Brian and I watched the majority of that Sixers-Celtics game, and the Celtics beat them pretty good. And Joel Embiid said it's not a rivalry because they've been kicking their butt, and the Celtics have really been dominating the Sixers. And it looks so far that they're going to be the best team in the East this year. And last night, obviously, a full slate. Kemba Walker had a monster game, 40-plus points, almost took down Milwaukee. I did watch the majority of the Brooklyn Nets game last night. I am a Nets fan, and a tough loss for them. Had a chance to win at the end, Caris LeVert, but couldn't get it to go. And, yeah, I'm excited for tonight. LeBron, debut, the Lake Show.
Yeah, you could say you're a Nets fan. You're a LeBron fan, so that's where the real
heart
is
right
there. Yeah.
I like LeBron a lot.
You love LeBron. That's,
who doesn't?
I don't understand
how you couldn't love that guy.
Oh, I love LeBron, too, but it's a... Ben's got a little crush.
Ben's
on
got a passion.
Whoa. Sure.
It's a little bit more than just love.
It's a man crush, you know. I'll give a nice little shout out here. Casey Brugner, he's a man crush on Sergio Ramos. You got a man crush on LeBron. It's okay. There's no problem with it.
It's okay, Ben.
He's a great player.
He's a great player.
To admit it, Ben.
He's a great player.
it's okay to be great.
It is.
Definitely okay. Fired up for a good NBA season. Tonight, I said, what else is there to watch besides the NFL? We spoke about Dodgers. I'm sorry. Boston.
Red Sox,
tonight. Yeah. Yes, that's the game. And LeBron. So there are a couple intriguing games on the schedule tonight across the sport world. It should be a good night.
Yeah, it definitely should be. And yeah. Mike? I think you got something for us here.
I think we might be ready for our electric player of the week. These players we chose from the previous week who had an outstanding week of production. So, Brian, who's your electric player of the week?
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt in my mind. It killed me in fantasy this week, but it's definitely Tyreek Hill. He had 7 catches, 147 yards, and 3 touchdowns against the New England Patriots. Tyreek Hill, what a day. Wow, it hurt, though. Gluckman beat me in fantasy. That was definitely a tough loss for me. But Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, he was fast, and he was ready to go. What a game.
Yeah, great team Gluckman has. Definitely great team.
Yeah, really unbelievable. The Destroyer keeps on destroying. My player of the week, with all the news happening in Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell might return. It doesn't matter because James Conner has been an absolute animal. 19 rushes, 111 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. He was a monster, led the Steelers offense against Cincinnati. And we'll see what happens coming up in the next few weeks. But he seems to be a young star emerging in the Steeler backfield.
My electric player of the week. Kickers are people, too. We love Jason Myers, the Jets kicker, 7-for-7 this past week. I mean, not a great sign for the Jets offense. You want to end those drives and touchdowns, but 7 touchdowns, it's a franchise record. Jason Myers, heck of a day for him. Great kicker so far this year for the Jets.
Yeah, 27 points for him in our fantasy league. Yeah, he was very deserving of a pickup on your waiver wire.
Kickers are people, too, Doug.
Well, Ben, I just have one question for you. Is he beasting and feasting?
What did you say?
Is he beasting and feasting, too?
He's beasting and feasting. He's an absolute pleasure to watch.
You love to see that. Mike Garofa, give me your player of the week. I'm assuming it's baseball.
Of course it is. Got to go with Josh Hader here, the reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's been absolutely phenomenal in this series. He's been outstanding for those Brewers. He's been shutting down every single Dodgers player, the only bright spot in that entire series for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's got a huge future ahead of him. I'd love to see him on the Mets, but I doubt that'll happen. But can't wait to see what he could do in the future.
Yeah, so those are our electric players of the week. Some great players we just named, and I hope for Jason Myers to continue his success.
Yeah,
really.
A lot of beasts we just named. Doug and I were talking about that song earlier, fourth grade Forest Park.
Reminiscing our Forest Park
reminiscing
days.
Our memories.
Because we are the Rangers of Forest Park, if you were watching the live broadcast last week.
You know, Vanderbilt kids make a difference?
In. Yes, we do, Mike. You know, I have to say, I think I can pick Tyreek Hill as my player of the week every week. You know, every time he gets one of those games where he just absolutely goes off, I feel like I could do it. I think I could always go with the Cheetah. He's so reliable, just a huge play threat. Love the guy.
Yeah, just pluck a guy from the Chiefs offense every week. Should be someone.
Yeah, quick shout out and a little bit of motivation for my boy Michael Thomas. He's got to get back on track. I need you as my number
one
wide receiver,
brother.
We need
you, buddy. We need
you. Let's go. I know you've been.
You got a big matchup with Skaggs this week, buddy.
It's really big. The bottom of the league matches up. And you got to win those games, you know? Got to win the games against the garbage of the league, even when you are the garbage of the league.
Skaggs is breathing on my neck. He's in second place in the conference right now. I have a big week right now. I think I'm playing Steve.
That's
also
probably
another
true.
Another conference matchup.
Should yeah, be, I did beat you. I did beat you, by the way.
You did. You did. Win, that Doug. Was your. That good was your. Win. That was your one win this year. Your team had a great week. Absolutely.
Yeah, my credibility is not there for the fantasy
that
football
was, that
breakdown.
That was the James White week where he had like 30 something points. I remember.
That's why you make trades.
As if I need more reason to hate any Patriot. There it is, right there.
All right, so that'll do it for this week. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Achudi, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, a very special thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside today's guest, Ryan Dixon. Mr. Doxy's in attendance today. Our producer, Mike Garofa, Brian Flatow, Doug Satuka. We will see you next week.